Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tafayi. Libya is finally free, or is it? The killing of Muammar Gaddafi may be just the beginning of major challenges that lie ahead for Libyans. Will a transitional timeline, as announced by the NTC, be a smooth one? Well, in this edition of the News Analysis, we will discuss the challenges ahead for Libya and what role NATO countries, like the United States, will play in its future. Will they just leave Libya to live as a sovereign nation, or will they have their own agenda?
The Libyan strongman ruled his country for 42 years, making him the longest ruling Arab leader. Muammar Gaddafi was born and raised in a Bedouin tent in Sirte, the city that later became his last stronghold and his graveyard. In September 1969, Gaddafi rose to power as the president of Libya after staging a coup against King Idris. He was just 27 years old then. Gaddafi abolished the monarchy and proclaimed the Libyan Arab Republic. He also ordered the shutdown of American and British military bases. In the same year, he started crushing domestic dissent. His government executed members of the Islamic Hezbollah Tahrir faction and pursued a policy of assassinations of opponents overseas. Gaddafi's image in the Arab world was damaged severely in 1978 when Shia Imam Musa al-Sadr disappeared in Libya. Gaddafi had invited him as a guest. A decade later, Gaddafi again grabbed the headlines by allegedly ordering the bombing of the Pan Am Flight 103 that killed 270 people over Lockerbie in Scotland. This led to US airstrikes that literally destroyed Gaddafi's air force overnight. Following all the controversy, Gaddafi began normalizing relations with the West, mainly after the year 2000. He expanded ties with the United States, Britain, and other European countries. He began giving intelligence on different issues to CIA and MI6 and became a host of US Extraordinary Rendition Program that undertook the illegal transfer of terrorism suspects to undeclared US jailhouses as part of the so-called War on Terror. In February 2011, major political protests began in Libya. Within a month, Gaddafi's government lost control of most cities east of the country. Gaddafi accused his opponents of drug use and links to Al-Qaeda. It didn't take long for revolutionary forces to seize the capital, Tripoli, with overt air support from NATO. This forced Gaddafi and his supporters into hiding in his hometown of Sirte. The revolutionary forces laid siege to Sirte and after weeks of heavy battles managed to find him and kill him. The man who once called himself the father of revolution in Libya is dead now, soon after another revolution swept him from power.
Let's find out what this all means for Libya. Let me introduce our guest. Chairman of the Libya Watch, Mohammed Abdul Malik, joins us from Manchester. We have journalist and political commentator Ali Al-Kabani, who joins us from London. Editor of Pan-African News Wire, Abayomi Azakiwi, joins us from Detroit. And our correspondent, Amin Al-Khatib, who has been inserted, is joining us right now, in which we'll start with him to find out what is going on in Sirte. Amin Al-Khatib, tell us about what is going on in Sirte with all the different developments that have come out. What are you experiencing there and what are you seeing?
Revolutionaries have managed to enter the 2 square kilometer area that they've been struggling to penetrate. And upon entering it today, it has forced some of the Gaddafi lawyers to flee in a convoy. Now, from the sources on the ground, that convoy has been hit by NATO something like 50 kilometers west of the city. After it's been hit, what they have discovered was that Gaddafi has been one of the passengers in this convoy. Now, sources have told me that Gaddafi has been killed in this convoy, and he's been transported to Misrata, the city which is west of Sirte, and there has been evidence, or there has been rumors, actually, of his son, Mu'tasim, also being part of the convoy and also one of the people who have been injured. In fact, on the way from Misrata to Sirte, we managed to see one of the ambulances which had a body inside, and in that body we actually witnessed the body of Martin. It's not completely confirmed, but based on what I have seen, it is very highly possible that it is the body of Martin. So now it seems like the hierarchy of the Gaddafi regime seems to have genuinely toppled with the death of Gaddafi and the death of his eldest son. There's also the news of his second son, Saif al-Islam, who's been under siege, and they still have not managed to completely capture him, but they believe, the revolutionaries believe, that he is injured at the moment. In terms of the situation in Sirte, it has calmed down relatively to the past few days and so on, but they still have to clean up some pockets of resistance in the city. Although the revolutionaries are certain that they have managed to capture and kill Gaddafi and his son.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're going to obviously keep a close eye on that. So that was our correspondent, Amin Al-Khatib. Let me come to you, Mohammed Abdul Malik. Tell us, what does Muammar Gaddafi's death mean for Libya? Let's start out with a simple question like that. Does it mean a new beginning?
I think it is the end to one phase. The objective of this revolution are two. The first was to get rid of Gaddafi, to get rid of tyranny and dictatorship. And the other one, which I believe is more challenging, is to establish a democratic state, a state where Libyan people feel free and feel unthreatened by the government. Now, I think that is the major challenge that faces us. I think with the death of Colonel Gaddafi, we can safely say that the first phase of the revolution has been successful, and it's in the past now. And now we should focus our attention towards building the state, moving from the transitional period of the revolution to the democratic state. And that is the real challenge.
You mentioned democratic state there on two occasions. Ali al-Kabani, a democratic state based on what ideals is going to come out of this? Because we know at this point in time that a democracy, if it's supposed to be the model that the West quote-unquote, is introducing, the report card doesn't speak too well when we look at the wars that were waged, the ones in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Will Libyans be able to form their own type of, if you want to call it democracy, but their idea of a state and government? Or is the West going to have that influence in that ideal?
If the Libyans were left alone, they will certainly establish a democratic system of ruling themselves, because today is a landmark, a historic moment represented by the killing of Muammar Gaddafi, because that represents ending the darkest and most brutal chapter in the history of Libya and the suffering of the Libyan people. So the Libyan people suffered enough from autocratic dictatorship, and they will never repeat that again. But the main question is, would the Western powers leave the Libyan, establish their own way of governing themselves, and try to rebuild Libya on a different basis, guaranteeing freedom and liberty for all Libyans, and establishing a democratic country and with the law as the sovereign of the land? This is what we will see in the near future, what will exactly happen. But the main point is that the transitional council and the temporary government, or the transitional government, should not commit Libya and the Libyans to any agreement with the West now, and wait until the Libyans elect their own government, their own president, and choose their own system of governing, and let the elected government build relations with neighbors locally, internationally, and regionally. So for the time being, the transitional council should not commit the Libyan people to any agreement with Western powers who now wants to, they think it's a time for payback. So they want a quick agreement for oil and projects of rebuilding the infrastructure of Libya and rebuilding Libya again.
Abayomi Ezekiwi, I don't know if you heard the U.S. president making a statement at the White House regarding what has occurred. And in his brief statement, he also mentioned this word democracy. And I'd like to really zoom in on this, because when we look, first of all, at what he's saying, this notion of democracy, it's, first of all, something that is faltering within the United States of what a democracy really entails when we look at the protest movements. But the focus I'd like to bring in here is how could the West lay back after all that's happened? Because if it's going to be modeled after the ideals that Libyans have, that could sway from the movements that they were involved in through NATO and the AIR campaign. Of course, the United States playing that back role. But will they leave Libyans alone to do that?
No, we don't feel at all that Libya is going to be left alone. In fact, Hillary Clinton was just in Libya yesterday calling for the capture and assassination of Muammar Gaddafi. It's been reported today that he was assassinated in Sirte. Until we have full confirmation that that is the situation, we're going to refrain from making any definitive comments in regard to what the actual politics of a post-Gaddafi Libya will play out. But I just wanted to mention that the U.S. as well as the NATO countries have invested a tremendous amount of resources in bringing about this regime change. Since February, they have been supporting the NTC. Beginning on March the 19th, they engaged in both airstrikes as well as strikes from the sea against numerous targets inside of Libya, over 20,000 sorties, over 9,500 airstrikes. Even today, there are reports that there was two major airstrikes in Sirte against this convoy that was hit, that it has been reported by the NTC and other international press sources, that resulted in the wounding of Muammar Gaddafi and the other people who were traveling along with him. If these reports are confirmed, then it shows very clearly that this assassination has to be credited to NATO and the NATO forces who have been attacking Libya now for over 7 months. So I don't believe for 1 minute that the United States and the other NATO countries are going to leave Libya alone to find its own path in regard to some type of reconstruction of the country. First of all, the resources that are in Libya are tremendous. And we know very clearly that the United States and Britain and France are very much interested in the oil industry there to dominate that industry. They've already frozen over $128 billion in Libyan assets. At the same time, they are involved in the exploitation of natural gas resources as well, particularly in Western Europe. So I don't believe that Libya is going to be left alone to find its own path into the future.
And Mohammed Abdelmalek, if you want to really look at the way that the United States viewed Libya prior to the NATO operation that began, strategically it wasn't that important to them. But then when they were involved with NATO operations, it became more and more important to them. Why did Libya become important for the United States as the air war began in Libya?
Yeah, Libya have been always very important to the United States because it's an oil-producing country, and we shouldn't forget that the hypocrisy of American policy and the West in general is that they claim that they are trying to promote democracy in the Arab world, while I would argue that democracy in the Arab world is against the interests, against the imperialistic interests of the United States and the Western powers, because if there is freedom and democracy, they will never accept the dictates of the West. The other thing we shouldn't forget that it was the United States and the West in general who appointed these rulers to be puppets to serve their policies. So they can't come now and take the high ground and claim that they are against the dictatorship in the area. It is them who planted those dictators, supported them, and until very recently, Muammar Gaddafi was visited by the Americans, the British, and the French, and the Italian, and Tony Blair was cuddling and kissing him. So he was their puppet and their man, and they signed a lot of oil deals for British Petroleum and others in Libya. So Libya have been always very important to the West and to the United States. But I think now the Libyan people are different from before, and the Arabs in general, I think, are wiser now even than those who plot the conspiracies to deny them the right to shape their future. And hopefully this time they will not be tricked by those conspiracies and the ways of trials to control them and put the dictates which they used to do to Gaddafi and others. And I hope the other Arab rulers take note of what happened to Gaddafi today, like Saleh of Yemen or Hamad of Bahrain and the other dictators, that their fate is inevitable and the people will get rid of them. But we have always to be alert about the counter-revolutions regionally, internally, and internationally, which will always try to abort the action of the revolutionary people. An important point also, we have to know who killed Gaddafi, because until now we have conflicting reports and we hear that Gaddafi was arrested alive, so is Saif al-Islam. And we also hear other reports saying that both Gaddafi and Saif al-Islam and his son al-Mu'tasim and the defense minister Abu Bakr Yunus are all killed. One would have hoped that those people were arrested and put into trial to know all the secrets which happened during the four decades of Muammar Gaddafi, and would they be killed to hide the facts forever? Because we all know that Gaddafi and his intelligence and secret service have been in close cooperation with the CIA and MI6 and the rest of the Western Intelligence Department. So why those people have been killed, while we all saw at the television that Gaddafi was still alive when he was arrested? So there is a way to get rid of all those people, so the facts and their secrets are buried with them, the same like what happened with Saddam Hussein and all those dictators. We want them to be tried fair, right, and free trial, and know the facts from them and why they did what they did, and all the and to be tried for all the crimes they committed against the Libyan people and against the interests of Libya.
Right. Mr. Abu Malik, though, let's look at what's at stake here for the United States and its partners. I mean, you know, they're going to want to steer the future governments towards what would be at least their interest. But at the same time, we know they've mingled with the NTC and their members. But at this point, reports have emerged recently and even in the past couple months that, well, the revolutionaries and also some NTC members, not as united as everybody might think they are, including, of course, some of the communities in certain parts. Misrata was one example that was cited, that they're claiming parts of Libya to themselves. So how is it that they're going to have this revolution move towards their interests when, at this point, not all factions are united? And we also need to mention the tribal factor in here.
If I understood your question correctly, I think what needs to be done, what the NTC needs to do at the moment, is move as fast as possible to a position where authority is based on elections. They have put down a roadmap whereby in 8 months' time from today, a transitional council will be elected. This council's job is to draw the constitution and form a transitional government. And within 2 years of the election of the council, there should be elections for a proper government and the move from the revolution to the state. As soon as the Transitional National Council moves towards a proper elected government, that would ensure the unity of Libya. Of course, there are the dangers that weapons would be used to determine the political outcome in Libya, and that would be very painful and very, in my opinion, highly unlikely, but it could happen. Also, there is the notion that some parts of the Libyan community might be excluded from the political game, and that is also dangerous. So I think the Transitional National Council needs to move as fast as possible towards a proper democratically elected form of government, even if it is transitional, until the constitution is formed and agreed upon, and until the laws are passed, and until the political parties are formed and eventually elected into government. I think this is very important. During this time, we would need the help of international organizations, including the West. Unfortunately, we believe that the West, whether we like it or not, are partners in this revolution. They have stopped Colonel Gaddafi from totally destroying Benghazi and killing hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. They have been instrumental in curbing the power of Colonel Gaddafi in the West and in the East. They have destroyed a lot of Colonel Gaddafi's capabilities, and therefore I believe that we cannot ignore them when it comes to rebuilding our infrastructure, rebuilding our schools, our hospitals, our roads.
Right.
I think the contracts should go to the.
I've got a comment here, actually.
Friends of the
okay,
Libyan
go
people.
Ahead. Ali Al Kabani, quickly, if you can, so I could get some statements from Mr. Azikiwi also. Go ahead, Ali Kabani.
I don't agree that the NATO have got a role to play. Their role, according to the United Nations resolution, was to protect the civilians from.
I didn't say NATO, I
Gaddafi
said the West.
And his forces.
The West, not NATO.
The West in general. Gaddafi has gone. And the role of the Western powers have ended. Then the elected Libyan government can seek advice, consultation with any other country, but not as a bloc which trying to say that they help the Libyan protect themselves. So the role of NATO and the Western governments has finished because Gaddafi and his regime has vanished and has gone. So leave the Libyan alone to rebuild their country. That's the most important thing. The other thing, I'm not surprised that the different factions have got different points of view. They have to unite on the principles that they have to have a free society. But of course, different factions have got different ideologies and different opinions. And in a free society, this is expected because we can see everywhere in democratic countries like Britain or America, the Republican Party have got different ideology from the Democrats. Here, the conservatives are different from the Labour or the Liberals. So it is expected in a free society that the different factions have different views, but they have to agree on the principles.
Okay, let me bring my last question to Mr. Abiyomi Azikiwi there in Detroit. Tell us, Mr. Azikiwi, do you think that the United States is going to just leave Libyans to themselves to figure things out in terms of formation of a government and, of course, the timeline? What role do you see? Go ahead. Quickly, if you can.
Oh, no, they're definitely not going to leave Libya to itself. The U.S. Historically has had interest in Libya prior to the revolution of September of 1969. They had an air base there in Libya. It was closed as a result of the leadership of Muammar Gaddafi. It's obvious that Hillary Clinton's involvement, the State Department, as well as the intelligence officials, the Pentagon, have all been involved in this regime change process.
Okay. I'm going to have to jump in, unfortunately. I do apologize, Mr. Azikiwe. Unfortunately,
we
ran out of time. That's Abayomi Azikiwe, editor of the Pan-African Newswire. Thank you. Ali Al-Kabani, prior to him, journalist and political commentator. Thank you. And Mohamed Abdelmalek, thank you so much, chairman of the Libya Watch from Manchester. Thank you for watching this edition of the News Analysis. Send us any questions or comments, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Vitakhvay and the entire team, it's goodbye.